Senate Committee on Veterans and Emergency Preparedness will come to order. What we're going to do is, frankly, just run down the quick calendar in front of us because I have competing competition from other members from both chambers that are out there. But first, Madam Vice Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just want to recognize the missing Marines that were declared dead. There were 12 Marines who went missing when the two helicopters carrying them apparently crashed off of the coast of Hawaii, and I did want to bring to your attention that Ty Hart, an Oregonian who was born in Staten. He graduated from Staten High in 2012. He was a football player, a wrestler, participated in track, and was actually a competition cheerleader. He was involved in karate. And anyway, he was one of those that has been lost his life. He had just married. He was just married in June of 2015, and I just wanted to send our heartfelt condolences to the family and just have a moment of silence for Ty. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Madam Vice Chair. And again, our hearts and prayers go out to the family. And I just, my wife and I, it has been a tough month in that category, and I hadn't mentioned it until you brought this up. The unit that I commanded for years in January was the unit in Afghanistan that just had a man lost out of Buckley, Washington. A National Guard soldier lost out of there, and a second one who lost a limb, too. So it's been kind of a tough go-around this out there. On that, everything on our agenda, colleagues, is veterans issues, but I do want to point out, for those who have not seen it or read it, Ted Koppel has a new book out that is relative to this committee, and I was going to wait to the end, but I figure the general will walk out when he's done. So it is Ted Koppel's Lights Out, A Cyber Attack on a Nation Unprepared, and it's really about the infrastructure, the great infrastructure, which this committee has had before us, which is part of the State Resilience Plan. And, of course, we're all very shortly will be meeting the new State Resilience Officer that's out there. With that, I'm going to open a public hearing on SB 1524. Mr. Roper, you just refresh us real quickly because there were some questions that are going to be answered by Representative Huffman and whoever he's bringing to that podium right now. So go ahead.
Sure, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. So this bill was before us on Tuesday, Senate Bill 1524. It was originally a placeholder bill with a -1 amendment that exempts 100% permanently disabled veterans from the annual medical examination requirement for marijuana cards.
Okay, Representative, you're in charge. Where are we at? And he's going to answer questions, right?
Chair Boquist, committee members, John Huffman, State Representative for House District 59. And I believe we're in hearing room B, if I'm not mistaken. That's where we are.
I'm glad you House members have your grid coordinates
still. Sense of humor still intact, even on the fourth day of session.
Fourth week, you said. Oh, fourth day, I got it.
Just feels that way. Been working feverishly, Mr. Chair, with Senator Mona Sanderson and others to, and the co-chairs of the Joint Committee on Marijuana to make sure that everybody is in the loop and has a good understanding of what we are attempting to do. Reiterating that we are dealing with a very small population. Director Cameron Smith from ODVA got back with the answer total. Population of 100% disabled rated veterans in Oregon is about 80. Dan, do you have the 8150, roughly, something like that?
I have to refer to the email, which I can do, yeah.
It's a little over 8,100, something like that.
That are totally
disabled. That 100% rated. And so the 100% totally and permanently disabled, he could only guesstimate, and he said maybe a third of the 8,100 number. And again, Andre is here with me from Oregon Health Authority, and he's got some numbers about how many actually participate in the medical marijuana program. But I did confirm, I talked to Senator Steiner Hayward and asked her the medical question, and she was in agreement that these folks are regularly seeing their VA doctor, some of them weekly, some of them monthly, some annually, but they're all getting their general medical care through the VA. The VA just cannot attest to the need for a medical marijuana card in Oregon because of federal law. And I'm happy to answer any questions. Andre can introduce himself.
You're doing a fine job at TAP testing. You really are.
Did I? Right. I
so why don't we let Andre go, and then we'll ask questions.
I practiced that last night.
Right.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Andre Uso, manager of the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program. Thank you for providing me the opportunity to speak to you today. I have some remarks prepared, and they give you some applicable statistics to our program and veterans, so I'll just go through those briefly, take about a minute. Under current OHA rules, OMMP offers a reduced fee of $20 for veterans who receive compensation from the VA based on 100% service-connected disability or who receive a needs-based pension from the VA. In 2015, approximately 1% of our registered cardholders, or about 798, are 100% service-connected disability rated veterans. Among those veterans qualifying for this reduced fee, 55% of that, about approximately 800, do list PTSD as a qualifying condition, and they can list more than one qualifying condition on their application. Mm-hmm. Only 7% of all OMMP patients total list PTSD as a qualifying condition. So it's a significant percentage of the veterans that do claim the reduced fee. Beginning March 1st, 2016, pursuant to HB 3400, veterans providing proof of service in the U.S. Armed Forces and a diagnosis of PTSD will be allowed to claim the reduced fee of $20, regardless of a 100% service connected disability or needs-based pension. In addition, on March 1st, we will also be proposing in our permanent rules for OMMP patients that veterans receiving service-connected compensation from the VA based upon a finding of 100% disability on the basis of individual unemployability also will now qualify for the reduced fee.
How many did you say?
It's we would we don't know how many veterans would actually qualify on this under this new reduced fee category. However, we anticipate that the numbers of veterans applying for an OMMP card will increase over the next year based on these new categories, or patients that previously have cards but pay the non-reduced fee of $200 may switch over and apply for the reduced fee. So we would see those numbers going up. Anecdotally, as Representative Huffman has mentioned, that OMMP is aware of the difficulty to OMMP patients who are also veterans to afford to see a physician who is willing to recommend medical marijuana and sign the required APS form. Generally, veterans wanting to renew their cardholder registration cannot get a recommendation from a VA physician because of the status of marijuana as a Schedule I drug and due to federal law. So this leads veterans who want to apply or renew their OMMP card to seek an annual assessment from a physician using out-of-pocket expenses. And I've had some veterans write emails to me or call me and voice those concerns to me directly. Overall, OMMP can implement this process being proposed in Section 1 of 1524. We would still need some proof of 100% disability and an assessment and diagnosis of a qualifying condition initially. And then we would like the language of the bill to clarify whether a veteran applicant would need to provide the program with proof of a discharge or release under other than dishonorable conditions. We currently don't ask for that information from veterans, and I've noticed the language in the bill does mention it, so we want to know if OMMP would need to see that information. Additionally, just of note that we are working with the Oregon Medical Board in the future, and there is language in HB 4014 about developing clinical guidelines for the recommendation of medical marijuana, which was lacking right now in our laws for Oregon. So that's all the information I have for you today. You know, I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have, and once again, thank you for the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Just for clarity again, colleagues, there's no other referral for this, and it's a, for better word, an ominous veterans bill. I have personally spoken to the Senate co-chair, and I believe multiple members have, and all of you are in possession in your emails of correspondence from the Senate co-chair of the implementation of marijuana, who is fine with this. I think this is a good course of action to go. I've also been in contact with the House co-chair from the good chamber, the higher chamber over there that Senator Representative Huffman is from, and she thinks she is fine with this and going. And then we've actually coordinated with our healthcare doctor also. So where we are, we'll go to questions here. As I mentioned earlier to the vice chair, this is, for a better word, a veteran sort of ominous bill right here. Everything's ominous in this session at times. And so if we decide we're going to put this amendment in, we'll put it into the bill today, and then we'll hold it over till Tuesday. Ironically enough, those two co-chairs, there's another issue out there that might not be handleable on their side that might come to us too. So with that, are there questions for Representative Huffman or good?
I'd like, yes, Mr. Chair. Okay. When we were looking at medical marijuana for our veterans, last session or the session before anyway, back when, and we had veterans come forward, some with PTSD, and I just remember their stories that were very moving, and I firmly believe in medical marijuana and how it has helped the quality of life of some of those who are suffering. And so I remember that, and I'm very comfortable. Thank you, Representative Huffman, for bringing it forward. I do have a question, though, with the amendment. You had mentioned 100% disabled and permanently. Totally and permanently. But when I'm looking at the amendment, it just says it doesn't use those words, but I assume that the amendment, it says just 100% disability rating of 100%. That's what it says in the amendment. Does that mean totally and permanently disabled?
Mr. Chair, if I may. Madam Vice Chair, currently we have one category in place and then another category related to disability that we're going to start implementing March 1st. One is the 100% disability service connected, and then the one we're going to implement in March is the 100% disability regarding unemployability. So I haven't read the VA rules. I'm not too sure on the exact distinction, but I'm aware that there is a distinction. And then the first one that we currently have, the first category related to service-connected disability, is a much more stringent form of 100% disability as opposed to the unemployability.
So we don't need to change the amendment?
You know, I know what you... What this committee means with this amendment.
I'm
not
rules.
A practicing attorney in Oregon, so I'm not going to comment.
Oh, you are an attorney, though.
Yes.
I was just seeking clarity.
By training, yes.
Mr. Chair, and as Senator Mona Sanderson, I'm happy to word it. However, I was kind of going by my constituent, Mr. Steinberg. I'm happy to put in whatever wording needs to be. I'm happy to check with Mitch Sparks from ODVA, who is a rating expert, and he's the guy that runs the department that trains all of our VSOs. I'd be happy to check, and if the committee wants me to.
Minister, I'm not going to move the bill till Tuesday, so,
yeah,
do you want to check? I don't want you to be unhappy with me.
Nor me.
Oh, I love you guys. You know that.
I
just want to make sure that this is including who we want to include.
Oh, we move fast in this. We actually have a technical expert that's...
Speaking of Mr. Mitch, see, I was complimenting you on
Thank
your
you.
Expertise and didn't know you were behind me.
Chair Boquist, members of the committee, my name's Mitch Sparks, and I'm a employee of the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
And the question is, Representative Huffman.
Mr. Chair, may I?
Right, I just...
Mitch, trying to clarify, Stu Steinberg, a Vietnam VSO from Central Oregon, had brought forward this bill or amendment and was specifically targeting, and I'm using his words, 100% totally and permanently disabled. I have always been under the impression because of Stu that that is different than just a 100% disabled rating.
Chair Boquist, members of the committee, is that
if a veteran... State your name again.
Oh, my name is Mitch Sparks.
Thank you. Go ahead, please.
Is that being rated at a, when a veteran is rated at 100% or with individual unemployability, which is statutorily the same thing as 100%, so there's really no difference there under Title 38 law, is that it could come either way. It could come as a permanent and total rating at that time, or there's a future exam scheduled, and that's not considered P&T or permanent and total. So it's necessarily a higher rating that they're getting being rated permanent total. It just means that the federal VA medically does not see a future of improvement of those conditions.
Okay, so question to you then. If the intent of the bill is from Representative Huffman, and the intent of the committee is just to make sure it's 100% permanently, help me out, Madam Vice Chair.
Totally
disabled. Should the language of the existing amendment be changed to reflect that language?
Chair Boquist, is that the if it is put in there that it's permanent in total, is that there would be way for the Oregon Health Authority to check that and find out if they are rated P&T off their rating decision?
And the answer is yes. I think
yes.
You're saying right. I'm
yes.
checking here. Okay. I'm just a simple infantry officer. You get too complex for me here. Okay.
Chair Boquist, one of my goals too in this was to try to keep the population we were dealing with as
focused.
Small and narrow focused as we could. So I'm happy to change that. And if I can ask a question of Andre and Mitch, there was the unemployable piece in there. Should we have that also in there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, so here's a question for, because this is now committee problems, Representative, that's fine. Or could you work with Mr. Roper and with your colleague from the sister agency to your left, okay, today to come up with the exact wording so that the committee's intent is unemployable, the unemployable category of 100% and permanently, help me, Madam Chair, 100%
permanently.
Permanently, okay? So that we have that language right so that the committee can submit an amendment for Tuesday.
Mr. Chair, before you go down that street, I've got a question on the unemployable part. Is that due to physical or mental problems, or is it just that they don't want to work? I don't mean to say that facetiously. I just want to know why does someone that is unemployable, what's the definition of why they're unemployable?
Senator Olson, Chair Boquist, the reason why the VA has that category is that they recognize that people that not necessarily aren't scheduled or 100% still have an impact of employment due to their service-connected conditions.
Okay.
So, further answer your question is that most of the time we see a combination of both mental and physical conditions in the ratings for unemployability.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Follow up. The reason I mentioned that is when you hear said that someone said that they're unemployable, if you add in the context of marijuana, it would make them even more unemployable. And my concern was, would the two interconnect, and are we able to get them from the unemployable to the employable? And if we can't, that's fine. But I just wanted to make certain in my mind that there was a nexus that they're unemployable because they really can't be employed. But if they could be employed and they have marijuana, then you have a problem with employment anyhow because employers don't want to hire them. You see where I was going with that?
Hmm. Okay. We're trying to narrow it. You're trying to widen it.
No, I'm not. No, I'm just trying to get a clarification. Right.
Chair Boquist, members of the committee, if a veteran is in receipt of unemployability, is by federal statute, they can only have minimal employment only.
Okay.
So it's a year. It there's a yearly check to see if they've made any count, you know, any type of income while they're on unemployability, because the VA has told them that they're not retrainable and they're not, they cannot gain or maintain suitable employment. And that's the factor within the rating of unemployability.
See, Mr. Chair, there was more to that, wasn't there? Mr. Chair? Mr. Chair?
Yes.
There was more to that, wasn't there?
There certainly is.
But I'd like to make one other comment, if I may. May I?
You have the floor.
Thank you very much. When I was in the military, I had a very unique job that most people in the military don't have. Not a lot of them do. And I was a narcotics investigator. So I don't really have a very high feeling for marijuana or marijuana use. I remember what I saw. I remember the GIs that I saw using it. And I know society has changed, and they don't think it is as bad. It was a lesson that was impressed upon me, as it is with those people that are in combat, the lessons they see, the things they do. So I have difficulty with this, a considerable amount of difficulty. But if this, I will say on the record, if this benefits GIs and it's necessary they have this, I will support this bill.
I think it's extremely important for people who can have a better quality of life by the use of this type of medical marijuana is extremely important. I mean, their quality of life and their ability to not have severe headaches, not to have severe nightmares at night. Not, I mean, there are so many things. I don't have a problem actually with employability as long as it doesn't hamper their ability to be employed, but I do feel that it's necessary for many of the other side effects that come with PTSD.
Mr. Chair,
please.
If I might, along those lines, Stu Steinberg, the author of this amendment, actually, because of his injury, he is on morphine, and he said his ability to get into the medical marijuana program will lessen his dependence on a much stronger drug. And I've actually heard that. I've supported the medical marijuana program in this body the last 8.5 years because I've heard from several constituents that the prescription drug that's the alternative for nausea or pain is much worse, comes with the, you know, at evening TV you hear, oh, by the way, you could die from this. So that's, I guess, why I am willing to bring some of these forward for our veterans.
Thank you. Okay, so here's the chair's intent. Ms. Roper, if you will work with the two gentlemen to get the right verbiage that has been clearly expressed across the committee, get the amendment, make sure that Representative Huffman sees the amendment, and then get it as quickly posted to OLS and to the members so that it can be reviewed by the public. With the intention of doing something next Tuesday. So with that, we're going to close the public hearing on 1524. The bill will be rolled forward to Tuesday of next week. With that, I'm going to open a public hearing on SCR 205. If you would please, General and Senator Cruz. I don't know who's ranking. I don't know whether a senator outranks a general or a general outranks a whatever. But
all I know is I'm glad you woke up, Senator Cruz. The guy's kind of like a dog. He just kind of nod off and come back again. But be fully
okay.
Cognizant
if
of the
you would please.
There's not enough, then they're doing work. Okay.
Okay. Right. Okay. Mr. Roper, if you please introduce the bill, and then Senator Cruz, if you would go first, since it is you're the chief sponsor, and then we'll let the general go from there.
Sure, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Senate Concurrent Resolution 205 honors Alexander Reed Skirlatos for his heroism and service.
Senator?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Senator Jeff Cruz, Senate District 1. And I'm very honored to be here for Alec at this point in time because he is from Roseburg. Mr. President, he is a proud Roseburg Indian. And I also want to thank the president's office and the governor's office for the work they have done on helping us put this together. So it's greatly appreciated. Just a couple things about this. Excuse me. This young man, He joined the Army National Guard in November of 2012 and completed his basic and infantry training in 2013. He is currently assigned to C Company, which is in Roseburg, and I believe he just re-upped. So he obviously likes the work. he was deployed to Afghanistan in September of 2014, and he was there until June of 2015. While he was there, he was awarded several awards, including the Afghanistan Campaign Medal with two campaign stars, Army Achievement Medal, Army Good Conduct Medal, National Defense Service Medal, Global War on Terrorism Service Medal, Army Service Ribbon, Overseas Service Ribbon, Armed Forces Reserve Medal with M Device, and Non-Article 5 NATO Medal. Excuse me again. After his deployment in Afghanistan, he decided to take a vacation in a relatively safe place, a country called France. And while there, while on a train, in one of the high-speed trains in France, a terrorist with an AK-47 and a box cutter decided to go on a rampage on the train. Alex and two other gentlemen, Spencer Stone, who's the Air Force, and Anthony Sadler, intervened and stopped the terrorists before he could do massive damage. I think what this points out is the training he received directed him to run towards the danger rather than away from it. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we do a lot of things in this building, but one of the things that I get the most joy out of, and Ms. President, I know you do too, is recognizing and honoring true heroes. And we have, in the case of Alec, a true hero, and I'm very proud to be associated with this. And I know that we're still looking at the appropriate date for this to be on the floor and for him to come up here. And I also know that the governor is coordinating activities to give him a special award as well. So I'm very honored to be here, and I urge your support of the measure.
Thank you, Carol.
Chair Boquist, members of the committee, I'm Major General Mike Stensel, the Adjutant General for Oregon. Thank you for the opportunity to provide a few remarks for the Senate and current resolution 205, honoring Oregon Army National Guardsman Specialist Alexander Skarlatos. Our desire is to also recognize Specialist Skarlatos with the Oregon Distinguished Service Award at the same time we honor him with this resolution, hopefully later in this session. One of the greatest honors of my position, the opportunities I am given to recognize individuals who have displayed tremendous acts of character, heroism, and bravery. One such individual is clearly Specialist Skarlatos. While you have undoubtedly heard of his bravery in the media, allow me to take a minute to again share the details for the legislative record. As a member of the 41st Infantry Brigade Combat Team, Specialist Skarlatos had been home from Afghanistan for less than a month before he went on a European vacation and unexpectedly found himself back in harm's way. He and his friends were aboard a train carrying 500 passengers from Amsterdam to Paris when a gunman appeared carrying an AK-47. With Specialist Skarlatos' now famous words, "Let's go," he and his two friends and another British passenger tackled the gunman and wrestled the rifle out of his hands. Whenever I discuss Specialist Skarlatos' story, the common question I hear people asking themselves is how would I have reacted? We all hope we would have responded as Alec did, who will most likely never know. But for Alec, that question has unequivocally been answered. He said it was not a conscious decision. They acted impulsively as a matter of survival. All the same, I would offer that he did not develop that outlook while working at a civilian job. He learned it in his training as a soldier with the Oregon Army National Guard and from the values passed on from his parents. That split-second decision potentially prevented catastrophic loss of life, and for his actions, Specialist Skarlatos was awarded the Legion of Honor from the President of France and the Soldier's Medal from the United States Secretary of Defense. More recently, some of you may have seen him performing on the television show Dancing with the Stars, where like his act of heroism, he continued to inspire the American people as he represented the best of military and American values and acted as an ambassador for the entire National Guard. Because of his outstanding act of heroism, his service as a citizen soldier, and his continued honorable representation of the Oregon National Guard, I wholeheartedly support the passing of Senate Concurrent Resolution 205, honoring Specialist Alexander Skarlatos. This concludes my testimony, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Questions, Mr. President? Well, now that Senator Cruz is gone, we'll just make sure the record is correct. He has two campaign stars from Afghanistan, not one. So I'm sure Senator Cruz didn't know the difference, but that's okay. Is there anyone else that would like to testify on SCR 205? If not, then, General, I appreciate your testimony. It is certainly a moving situation and certainly a proud reflection on the Oregon National Guard, too. And I know that once we pass this, that there will be scheduling issues that Mr. Roper will work through with the President's office and the Secretary of Senate and all that. So we look forward to that coordination with that.
Look forward, sir.
Thank you very much. With that, we're going to close the public hearing on SCR 205 and open a work session on SCR 205. Vice Chair, if you would, please.
Chair Boquist, I move SCR 205 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair, Monis Anderson moves SCR 205 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? If not, so ordered by unanimous consent. We'll close the work session on SCR 205 and we'll open a public hearing on SCR 206. If you would please, Mr. Roper.
Hey, Mr. Chair, members of the committee,
who's going to carry the bill?
Senate Concurrent Resolution 206 recognizes and honors Private George Nathan Wright and Specialist 4 James Alfred Wright for their service to their country.
And I have four individuals signed up. I have Senator Olson coordinating, so I'll let you lead, if you would, please, Senator Olson, and then you can go on to your guest.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My name is Senator Alan Olson. I represent Senate District 20 in the heart of Clackamas County, which includes the fine community of Boring. I will not spend much time other than to say that, as you well know, we passed a law a couple years back that allows signs to be put on highways to honor veterans that have given their all. In this particular case, we found that we have two sons, or two young men that are a son of a Navy veteran that lost their lives 2 years apart in Vietnam. And we are here under the auspices of Mr. Bates, who brought this forward to us, to honor these gentlemen with a sign on Highway 26. And I'll let Mr. Bates continue.
Thank you, Senator. Chair Boquist, Vice Chair Monis Anderson, and committee members, I'm Steve Bates, a 38-year resident of Boring, Oregon. I'm here representing the Boring community and also as an associate member of the Vietnam Veterans of America. We thank you for hearing this resolution, and I wish to acknowledge Senate President Courtney for allowing this resolution to be introduced during this short session. The Vietnam War is the war of my generation. Our Vietnam heroes did not get the recognition that they deserved. The Vietnam Veterans of America asked me to serve as an associate member as a memorial on a memorial committee to honor the memory of the names on the Vietnam Memorial Wall. Seeking to honor our fallen heroes from the Boring area, we found that the exceptional loss experienced by my neighbor, George Wright, and his family had been overlooked. Most everyone in Boring was unaware of these facts. On May 21, 1967, my neighbor, Mr. George Wright, lost his son and namesake to the Vietnam War, Marine Private George Nathan Wright. That day, the Wright family became a Gold Star family. 2 years and 10 days later, May 31st, 1969, my neighbor, George Wright, lost another son to the Vietnam War, Army Specialist 4, James Alfred Wright. On that day, the Wright family became a two Gold Star family. While there are many two Gold Star families, there are only 41 families throughout the United States that lost two sons to the Vietnam War. When we found out one of our neighbors had sustained such a tragic loss, not once but twice, the community of Boring stood up and said we should honor this family for their extreme sacrifice. Our neighbor, Mr. George Wright, is a 91-year-old World War II Navy veteran. The Vietnam Veterans of America have visited with Mr. Wright, and he has given us permission to honor his two sons. We will approach, upon passage of this concurrent resolution, we will approach ODOT and seek the placement of Vietnam Hero Highway signs in the memory of these two Boring heroes on Highway 26 as it passes through Boring. For the purpose of honoring the service and sacrifice of the Wright brothers, we sincerely request that this resolution be moved to the Senate floor with a due pass recommendation. Thank you.
Senator Boquist and committee, I am Ron Morgan. I'm the president of the Oregon State Council of the Vietnam Veterans of America, and this came to my attention last year, and it's such a tragedy that one family could lose two sons in the Vietnam War, but I just wanted to say that the Vietnam Veterans of America fully support and endorse this this motion to honor these two veterans.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and we appreciate all of your guys' service. Questions? There's no questions for this panel. Thank you much, gentlemen, and I'll ask Val Shaw and Tom Bennett to come up. And if there's anybody else that wants to come up, I have a third chair. Well, I can tell there's at least one veteran that learned something in the military. Never volunteer for anything back there. So,
good afternoon. My name is Val Shaw. I'm past commander of Post 180 in Gresham, Oregon. I'm now junior commander of the post. I'm also junior commander of the Disabled American Veterans Chapter 1 in Portland, and a whole bunch of other things, too. I went to school with George and Jim Wright. Jim was in my class, very, very nice kid. If he was your son, you would be very proud of him. And George, too. Both of them were on the baseball team. Just great, great kids. And, to have two brothers killed, 2 years apart, I just can't fathom what the family went through. I mean, maybe all of us here have children. I couldn't fathom having one die, let alone two. And the post and the community of Gresham all are for this resolution, and we'd be very proud to be there when they dedicate the road.
My name is Tom Bennett. I went to school with Jim, and we graduated together, went through grade school together. And I didn't really know George, but we were on several teams together, and so I knew Jim fairly well. But he was a good guy. He was really as straight as an arrow as you can get. And then after he had been killed over there with his brother, I went to work and became friends with his dad, and I ended up playing golf with his dad and get to know his dad, and I realized how what a fine family and where the quality and character that came from that made Jim and George who they were, and to have this happen to them, to George and his family, it's just like you say, it's unfathomable. I think I saw a movie years ago, The Sullivans, and how devastating that can be to a family to lose that many sons in one war or in one battle or even like that. But I think it would be I support, like I say, that would be quite an honor and a befitting honor to have the highway named after these two sons, and the family would be very honored for that.
thank you for taking time today to come, and thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Madam Vice Chair, I think one of these is from your district.
I went to high school with these guys.
I was just going to say that.
Stories. Do you have any stories? We need stories.
I'm 2 years older than they.
Oh.
Much more. She's wide.
Paid, she's paid us not to say
that.
In other words, we heard about her.
They knew something about an older woman then.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. Well, I got the yearbooks out, and this is Jim Wright, and he was 2 years younger. He was actually in you guys' class. But then George Wright, he was a baseball player, and that's who I knew. I knew George. He was in, he played baseball, and I was the varsity team baseball scorekeeper. So I kept score, and that's how I got to know George. And I didn't realize that he had been killed in the war until, because I wasn't living in Oregon. I was off in college and then moved out of state. And it was just a shock when we had our Vietnam War Memorial. And there were how many from our era?
Six
died in the Vietnam War. So we have a beautiful memorial in downtown Gresham. And that's when I first realized that George had actually been killed. So my heart goes out to the father, who's 91. I'm hoping that he will be able to come, and we'll certainly let you guys know, too, so that you'd be able to
appreciate
be there.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you, and again, thank you for your testimony.
Mr. Chair, would your post be interested in posting the colors that day?
Sure.
Would that be okay, Mr. President?
We certainly can check and make sure, but I think it probably will. We can check with the Secretary of Senate and make that arrangement.
Well, if I can post the colors, certainly.
Right. I just don't know if somebody else isn't already going to post it right there, but I think it's a fine idea, and it's a great suggestion. If you would raise that with the
I will do that. And if you would, we'll get in touch with you and let you know, and
we'd be honored.
Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. With that, we're going to close the public hearing on SCR 206 and open a work session on SCR 206.
Chair Boquist, I move SCR 206 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Madam Vice Chair Monis Anderson moves SCR 206 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any opposition? By unanimous consent, we will ask, I think it's whose bill is it? I'm confused now that you two, both of you, have jumped on board here.
Actually,
we are both.
We are. I am very proud to say that Senator Courtney brought the bill forward and allowed us to put our name on it and move the bill forward. So
we're going to have co-carriers. Is that what I'm hearing here?
Yes, absolutely. Oh, yeah, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Because you have much better. And we want to hear stories.
Okay.
We want
okay.
to hear dirt.
So the record will reflect that we'll have co-carriers on this. We'll have Senator Olson and Senator Monis Anderson, and with that, we're going to close.
Oh, God. I was just going to say Olson's a carrier for 205.
Right, I'm going to get to that. Because
yep,
he reminded me of that, too.
Okay,
right,
sure. Okay.
With that, we're going to close the work session on SCR 206, and the record should reflect that Senator Cruz is going to be the carrier on SCR 205, and he is the sole sponsor on that bill for SCR 205. Council, I think you have a project to do in terms of SB 25 or 1524, which I want to make sure gets done quickly, and you work with the gentleman to get that done and run it by Representative Hoffman and get it posted. And that bill will be rolled on Tuesday's agenda of next week. Is there anything else for the good of the order? If not, then we will bring this meeting to an end and just remind everybody else we do have two meetings scheduled next week, Tuesdays and Thursdays, and the Senate Committee on Veterans and Emergency Preparedness is over.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Veterans and Emergency Preparedness is over.